Hello and welcome to Medical Fun Facts, episode 49, Sputum Microbiology. So if I've timed this correctly, tonight's show is dropping on Monday, the 20th of March, 2017. And I've just returned from a day trip meeting in Sydney. Tonight, I want to mention some points about sputum and how we might think about it in clinical microbiology. So what is sputum? Sputum is the material, or phlegm, that is coughed or expectorated from the lower respiratory tract. That's mainly the bronchi. While true sputum reflects the lower respiratory tract, to get it out, it must pass through the upper respiratory tract, which means that sputum is prone to contamination with material in the throat and mouth, especially the bacteria in the mouth and sometimes the nose if the patient has rhinorrhea or a runny nose. Sputum isn't only useful for microbiology, but also for cytopathology. Cytopathologists look for malignant cells in sputum, so it's never good news when malignant cells are found. There are three phases to sputum examination in microbiology. First, we look at the specimen with the naked eye. If it looks like a nice, juicy oyster with little or no mucus, it's good to continue for microscopy. If it's mostly saliva, a note will be made before the next stage. If the specimen contains food particles, then it's rejected outright. Sputum can be submitted for routine microbiology as well as for evidence of acid-fast bacilli and the presence of mycobacteria. You may wonder, how could we reject a specimen from a patient who is unwell? Well, part of being a pathologist and a medical laboratory scientist is a deep desire to do the very best for each patient. We can only do that if we evaluate each specimen and the referral associated with it and act based on quality improvement principles. There is no point processing a poor specimen. A poor quality specimen will often grow normal oral flora. If we report those bacteria, the referring medical practitioner may gain the incorrect impression that the authorising pathologist considers those bacteria as clinically significant. That may lead to inappropriate use of antimicrobials, which will have no bearing on the patient's illness and may contribute to further antimicrobial resistance. Apart from how the specimen looks when we hold the container up to the light, we also assess the suitability of the specimen for culture by microscopic examination using a Gram stain. The Gram stain is one of my favourite tests in microbiology and a test that can reveal a wealth of information. Assuming a sputum looks good, a smear is made on a glass slide in a biological safety cabinet class 2. The smear needs to dry and then it's fixed by warming the slide. I won't go into the details of the Gram stain here, I'll leave that for another show. Suffice to say, when looking at the slide down a microscope, if I see a lot of epithelial cells, it indicates the specimen is mostly saliva and not sputum. Good sputum will have pus cells or polymorphonuclear cells and an abundance of bacteria. It's possible to diagnose some respiratory infections from a Gram stain. For example, in the tropical north, pulmonary melioidosis has a typical Gram stain appearance. In a patient with cavities in their chest x-ray, the Gram stain can reveal staphylococcal pneumonia or an anaerobic infection associated with lung abscesses. As I mentioned in episode 21, ghosting in a Gram stain may suggest a mycobacterial infection. While the Gram stain is being prepared, various agar plates will be inoculated. The typical respiratory pathogens routinely sought include pneumococci, haemophili, Moraxelli, staphylococci, pseudomonads, and some streptococci. Depending on the scenario, a sputum will typically be set up on blood agar, chocolate agar, and McConkie agar. In big teaching hospitals, some patients at risk of being colonised with a multi-resistant bacterium will also have screening agars set up to select for certain resistant bacteria. After overnight incubation, the plates are examined and assessed in the context of the clinical information as well as the Gram stain results. If a respiratory pathogen grows in pure culture, or heavy growth is the predominant flora, and if pus cells are seen in moderate to high numbers in the Gram stain, along with corresponding bacteria, the result is clear, and the bacterium will be selected for antimicrobial susceptibility testing. In my opinion, I'd reject most sputum specimens because they aren't really sputum, and quite often what we see and grow doesn't have a very good clinicopathological correlation. And so ends another episode of Medical Fun Facts. You can find the show notes for every episode at my blog, drgarrylum.com/blog. You can always find updates on the Facebook page, and Medical Fun Facts is available in the iTunes podcast store as well as Stitcher. If you disagree with anything in these podcasts, or if you would like to voice a different view, please feel free to write a comment. If I've said something incorrect, I welcome correction. Please also feel free to share your comments on social media. Thank you, and good night.